Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah. It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on. Number 1.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Here is question number 1. What was the best part of the Bears 25-24 win over the Commanders?
The best part was the final score. I'm sorry. I know that sounds cheesy and lame and I'm copping out, but I'm not really, because this wasn't necessarily about being having tactics, if you will. It wasn't necessarily about perfection. This was how many different things are going to happen, but you're still going to try to win the game. For me, it really was also having confidence in the offensive unit, having confidence in the offense enough to know that when you get that ball inside some sort of 2-minute drill scenario, you are going to do enough. And that thing was run to perfection. You know how I know? The ball was going through the air as time expired. And not only that, but they put Jake Moody in a situation where he could easily kick a 38-yard field goal in the rain. So all of that for me, the fact that I'm not complaining about it, the fact that it actually worked, the fact that you could withstand so many other issues and still win a ball game, scoreboard.
Okay, I hear you. The best part of this win was one word, redemption. But not the redemption that you might be thinking of. You're probably flashing back to something that happened last year. But that's not what I'm talking about.
I got a few things.
When I talk about redemption, I'm talking about this team, as you know, Ben Johnson didn't want to talk about last year. You know what is on your record, Ben Johnson? Your last appearance on Monday Night Football. Very different message, very different appearance on Monday Night Football compared to what we saw. And it showed the amount of progress that this Bears team had made. They couldn't stop a rookie, first year as an active quarterback from going up and down the field in the fourth quarter and leading a comeback in that game. In this game, they went to Jaden Daniels' house, kicked in the doors, and left a little mess on the floor on their way out. That's what they did.
They wiped that smile right off Jaden Daniels' face.
I don't know. He was still smiling after the game when he was dapping people up. So
yeah, well,
that's
fine.
I think that's his style of leadership. Okay. Maybe they tracked in some mud in the house, and that mud is hard to get out.
Yeah.
The most important player in last night's game, the best part of last night's game, was Swifty. DeAndre Swift, 14 carries, 108 yards, the 55-yard catch and run. The fact that on that final drive, which was excellent, you had Swift coming up with his best runs of the game, a 10-yarder, a 15-yarder, and some short runs in between. To have seen what we all were begging to see and needed to see, because guess what, Luke Skywalker? DeAndre Swift is your only hope right now when it comes to somebody who is going to run in bulk. I know they tried handing the ball off to Olamide Zaccheaus. DJ Moore got in on the running game. Who am I missing? There's probably
Roshan.
Kyle Manungai, actually. Kyle Manungai on a screenplay last night. Look, going forward.
Fam, the screens were vertical.
They were vertical.
Did you notice that they were inside the hash marks, the screens? And because of that, they ended up being better executed?
Yup, and that was one thing that Ben Johnson pointed out in his press conferences last week. He pretty much said the screen game is bad and it needs to get better. But
Kyle
boy, Manungai, oh boy,
had 5 carries for 19 yards.
DeAndre Swift had himself a night. Keep that going, kid.
When he said Luke Skywalker, was I thinking about Star Wars or was I thinking about Uncle Luke?
You tell us. Well, that is
it. Is 100% Uncle Luke.
I was thinking about Chewbacca from Star Wars.
Will ye sing a melody or two?
As opposed to other Chewbaccas that
Chewbacca.
You may know. Yes.
Number 2.
Who doesn't have a Wookiee sound effect?
I don't have a good one, so I'm not going to do it right now. I like yours.
It's very high-pitched. It's clearly a girl Wookiee. I'm working on it.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
That's me.
All right, here's
Han Solo to Chewbacca. He said that to him.
That's from right. Star Wars.
Yeah. There it
yeah,
is.
His has got more bass. I'm sorry. I'm not 9 feet tall. Like that's the only difference.
All right, here's no question number two. Did the playing field get more even between Bears quarterback Caleb Williams and Commanders QB Jaden Daniels last night?
Yes, because in my list of 95 things I need to ask Tim Jenkins at 1 o'clock, our film guy. Didn't you feel like those offenses were pretty similar last night? Like in all these different ways. It was like, oh, you have a trick play? Watch this. We too on the Commanders have trick plays. And it was like, oh, you want to do zone read? Or you want to do play action? We too have zone read and play action. And did I feel like we saw a bit of a QB abilities duel? Yes. And do I feel like QB1 for the Bears was a lot more on the same plane as QB1 for the Commanders? Indeed. I feel like we saw a lot of the similar concepts executed, and I'm good with it.
Watching that game, I thought that both quarterbacks were effective in different ways. I know Caleb Williams can run the ball, as demonstrated by his touchdown run, in which I thought DeAndre Swift was going to get called for holding, but he did not. So, like, whatever. But also, Jaden Daniels, his speed was on a different level. But the one thing that Williams didn't do is turn the ball over. And the number one job of a quarterback is to protect the football. So, while Jaden Daniels didn't lose any ground necessarily to Caleb Williams in the overall arc of who's a better quarterback, coin flip, I do think that Caleb Williams outplayed him in his house. And I think there's something to be said by that. So I think it is an even playing field for those two guys now.
Yeah, I think you put it well. Like, I don't think anybody is going to be saying today that Caleb Williams is on the map and he has supplanted Jaden Daniels and everything is in his rightful order now based on the draft for sure. And we've gone through it, the good and the bad of Caleb Williams. But I'll come back to it again. Knowing that your quarterback, Caleb Williams, when he gets the ball, he's one of those guys now that you're pretty sure he's going to put you in a position to potentially win the game. Started on his own 44 after Jaden Daniels fumbled the ball. Self-inflicted error. You can blame the Nor'easter if you would like. But a good recovery by Nashawn Wright. And then Caleb Williams did what he had to do with the ball. I like the fact, again, he did take at least one sack that he was just kind of begging to be sacked on last night. Like, you're going to go down here eventually. But, I mean, again, to keep it at three, that continues to be good for Caleb Williams. And it was so bad last year, right? Like, we were like, it's 50-50, half on Caleb, half on the offensive line. To see that getting better is heartening. He's getting closer. He ain't there yet, though, on Jaden Daniels' level.
How many Chewbaccas?
Ooh, that's a good... How many Chewbaccas does Caleb Williams get for his performance last night?
Yeah, I don't even know what the scale is.
Man, that's tough. Yeah, I need to know more. I need to know, yeah, scale 1 to 5.
Right. Are Wookiees and Bears related?
I don't know, but Layla asked the question. I mean, I'm all for it. Yeah.
Who are Wookiees related to?
They're dogs, right?
They're at least they're in the same family, right? They have to be.
Bears and dogs?
I don't think we're the ones to talk about this.
No, Bears and Chewbacca.
Yeah, but Wookiees are
Wookiees.
Wookiees help.
I've never seen Star Wars, so I have no idea.
They're dogs, right?
Robbie.
Yeah, they're walking dogs. That's what they are.
Hold on.
Bipedal dogs.
Grody's never seen the other guys, even though it's 100% a sense of humor. And you've never seen any of the Star Wars?
None of them.
Not a single one?
One pathetic loser.
You know, whoa.
Oh, my God.
That's not what we're about here on this program.
Where's that line from, though, kids? This is another movie that he probably hasn't seen. Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, I've actually never seen Dumb and Dumber.
Loser. So I was really just quoting Dumb and Dumber.
I've never seen Dumb and Dumber.
I think that's the most egregious one.
What have you seen?
Yeah, you're like Porth, man.
What do you like?
I have a higher sense of taste than all of you folk. Whoa. Like, you know, I'm pinkies up, you
okay,
know.
Okay, so what's your favorite comedy movie?
Iron Man, like what
cinema. Like, tell us about your cinema.
Superhero movies, is that what you watch, Robbie?
The greatest movie of all time is There Will Be Blood. That's the greatest movie
okay,
of all time.
Okay, fair, yes, I agree with that.
No, I'm
Parasite
proud of you.
Greatest
might
comedy
be
of all time is Office Space. Office Space is hilarious.
Office Space is amazing.
I think Few Good Men is my favorite comedy.
Office Space is amazing.
Office Space is pretty great.
It is great. Always watchable.
See? Yeah.
I don't know. I think we got to work this through as a team.
What is it you
so we all saw Euro here? Trip, but you haven't seen Star Wars. I feel like we failed as a movie club.
Five on it. Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score with Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. And we're going to get back to this Bears question right here. Last night on the official Bears postgame live on the Marquee Sports Network, Bears legend Charles Tillman said the current Chicago team is, quote, the Detroit Lions of 3 years ago. Do you agree with Peanut Tillman?
I'm going to defer to Mark Grody for the first comment regarding Charles Peanut Tillman.
I
feel like that's the right thing to do.
I know it's easy to put that together, like, because that's what we've all done. I've kind of stopped doing that when it comes like the comps, like this guy is that guy on the Bears. I'm still not ready to say that the individual talent on the Bears is comparable to the individual talent receiver-wise, tight end-wise,
line-wise, on the
Lions.
Oof. So offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, offensive line, defensive line. So God bless Charles Tillman. I am not ready to go there yet. No.
Okay, so if you look at the 1-6 portion of the 2022 Lions, listen to what stands out as Bears fans who love defense. 38-35 loss to Philly. 36-27 win over Washington. At Minnesota, lost 28-24. Versus Seattle, lost 48-45. Lost to New England, 29-0, bye week. At Dallas, lost 24-6. Sunday, October 30th, week 8, against Miami, lost 31-27. Whole lot of points the Lions defense was giving up. The criticism surrounding the Lions secondary that year were not kind. And I know because as somebody who watches the Bears for a living, we wanted to see the Lions secondary. That was favorable to opponents. So that's kind of how I also fold this in. Now, do I say it all the time? Do I talk about how they start 1-6? Yes. But I also understand that knowing that part of that was on a defense that wasn't as good when it came to allowing a lot of the points. And, like, just their insistence at the time on man coverage, too, at times where they got burned. Like, there was a lot about schematically that start for the Lions where you can't say it's the exact same, but you can see why it's said.
Do you think the Lions' talent is, or the Bears' talent is comparable offensively to what the Lions have?
Here's the
had?
Thing about the Lions for me is that they got two generational talents on both the offensive and defensive lines in Sewell and Hutchinson. And I want nothing more than for my GM to build from the lines out. And so that didn't happen. So now I got to figure out this new world order here where you're trying to make it work without making the system totally the same.
I do think that the teams are comparable, only in that they both had DeAndre Swift on them. That's where my comparison starts, stops.
Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson wasn't a head coach, though.
But he was the assistant.
Yeah, he was calling plays. That's fair. They were scoring points sometimes because they did get shut out in that span, 29-0 at New England. And that's one of the reasons why I think this team is further along than that team was at this time, because they were getting better in different areas, but they didn't have the wins to show for it. And they were getting embarrassed in the process in a couple of those games, whether that was the loss at New England, 29-0, or the loss at Dallas, 24-6. This team has proven it can score points. That's something that it can do. So I think the comparisons are apt in a way because you're talking about a first-year guy turning things around. But in other ways, I think this team is further along than that team, and I expect to see better results over this middle portion of the schedule, this next 5-6-game stretch.
Number four.
So we solved nothing.
Yes.
Nope, not at all.
Quick addendum. Hold on, really quick. Quick addendum on the text line. No one is mentioning the Montez Sweat finally showed up. Marshall Harris mentioned that on the Take the North podcast very prominently. Robbie Carrier.
Yeah, and he helped force Bill into that fumble.
Question number four. What are the chances Cairo Santos gets Wally pipped?
I don't know. Moody's going to have to make a lot more kicks. You know? Like, you're gonna need him to be, like, no doubters. I find it interesting that Patrick Manley said that he kicks at a higher arc because it looks like a golf slice, doesn't it? Like, the arc of the ball. Like, that's like a curve ball, the way he kicks that thing. I need more information. I feel like that's a... They brought him on for a reason, and simply sometimes we know that front offices will be like, you're a new guy now, and that's the end of that. But there's money attached to Cairo Santos's contract throughout the end of this season. It's not guaranteed anymore after the end of the year. So maybe there's a deeper play here or a longer term play. I'm not sure, but he needs to make more kicks in order for that to occur.
Yeah, I think he can get Wally Pipps. Let's be very clear. If Cairo Santos is out for an extended period of time and Jake Moody figures things out, unlike what he was able to do in Santa Clara when he's playing for the Niners, then yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything immediate though. Unless Santos goes on IR or is out for the season. I don't know. It's a quad strain in his kicking leg. It is not good, by definition. So the answer is, yeah, he could be Wally Pipped.
I think it's possible, but I don't think it's going to happen. Cairo Santos this year, 6 of 7, along of 52. We know he had the bad game against Minnesota, 11 of 11 on extra points. And I will say this, guys. It means something that Cairo Santos restored order in the kicking room. The kicking room was kind of a joke for a couple of years around here. Obviously, the Cody Parkey debacle, which led to its own debacle of 10 kickers showing up at training camp and having this ridiculous tryout.
And Cody Parkey happened because of a permanent decision based on a temporary feeling with Robbie Gold.
Yeah, we can go back to that as well. Although Gold was... like that needs a little nuance because Robbie Gold was missing kicks around then. I think
John Fox had it.
Well, I think he had it because he was like they call him mayor for a reason, Robbie Gold, which means he had influence in the locker room and probably a new head coach coming in is like, why does the kicker have influence in this locker room? And he was getting older and he was missing kicks, so I was not as outraged as everybody else was. History shows us all to be wrong, but anyway,
yeah, because he did really well with the Niners.
He did. There's no doubt about it. I wish he would have made some of those kicks with the Bears at the end that he was missing. But Cairo Santos in 2020 completely restored order after Cody Parkey, after a year of Eddie Pinheiro, which was its own little adventure, except for a game-winning kick in Denver. I was there. And he did. I mean, like, he did make 40 consecutive field goals between 2020 and 2021. He's been a special teams player of the week, a special teams player of the month. My point in giving all of these bullet points is that Cairo Santos has been a very good kicker for you and continues to be a very good kicker.
I'll quote Jake Moody to end this. You're only as good as your next kick.
That is true, too.
I mean, he was so calm.
Number five.
1 minute drill here. Five on it. Raheemy Harrison Grody, Cubs. What do we need to hear from Jed Hoyer when he speaks to close out the season tomorrow?
I'm tired of hearing about the offense broke. I need you to say we need more offense. And I'm the president of baseball operations. That's what I need to happen here. I need you to remember who you are. You are the only thing we've got who can convince the Ricketts family to open up their checkbooks more. You're our only hope, okay? Not to steal more lines from Star Wars today, but that might be the case. Like I need you to tell us that what you saw could have been better. And could have been better based on the pieces you had, and you know you need to add to that. I need you to say that we can do better. And somebody will.
I would like him to roll up to the podium, to the lectern, whatever audio device he's using to project his voice, and just simply say, we've decided we're ready to play with the big boys financially, and then walk away. That's all I need.
In addition to that, I guess it's in the same sort of species as your answer. Give us a strong indication on Kyle Tucker. Let us know. He's not going to tell us yes or no, but make it obvious to us. You know, if it's not going to happen, just be like, you know, we're exploring all options, but, you know, it's a two-way street. Both parties have, like, when a GM says that, you know it's off. So I would like some indication on Kyle Tucker just to know, because that'll say a lot, too, Marshall, about whether or not that they would be spending, and what do you need more of offensively to make this offense better for an entire year and not just half a year?
Contact would be nice.
And you can't be like, oh, we're interested in Kyle Tucker like you were in Shohei Ohtani. Like, I need it to be
genuine.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Craig Counsell said you got to be good enough for 90 wins. That let everybody know what the benchmark should be. So I need something that definitive here. Am I going to get it? Me asking a man to be definitive? Why don't I just scream at clouds? We'll do some of that next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. At least we've got Anthony Heron coming up.
Shots
next.
Shade, yeah. Man, I'm very definitive. I don't love that comment.
Do you know
it's
that we're all men?
I swipe it myself.
Wow. No, I think you just swiped yourself and the other four men in this room with you.
Now, y'all don't count. I work with you guys.
Wow. Oh, no, well, we're not doing that.
Oh, no, we hurt too.
We heard you loud and clear.
We hurt too, Layla. We're humans. Wow.
All right, well, I didn't mean y'all.
Man.
How's that?
No, you said
no,
it.
No, I definitely didn't.
Too late.
No, I know what I meant.
Maybe
actually.
A hit dog will holler.
Somebody
I'm
give
hollering.
Me some turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me some turkey.
The Honey Baked Ham Company is here for you.
I mean ham.
Yeah.
They have turkey too.
They do, yeah.
Okay, good.
So we'll do that next. Ann Heron will join us next to talk about all of this, offensive scheme, what he saw out of the game, and more. The former NFL player is next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
Having a group together that's able to have game after game, drive after drive, snap after snap, lining up across from each other, and then trusting what they see. You know, if they feel like they're getting their best five on the field, because the better they run the football, the better their young quarterback can perform.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Hedden, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
You know what that music means. We are never scared of Ann Herron. On the contrary, we're always happy he's here. Anthony Herron, analyst for us on The Score. Of course, he's also on the Fox 32 shows, Big Ten Network. The man is everywhere. In fact, he's with us tomorrow night from 6 to 9 p.m. He's hosting, and he's got The Score post-game show on Sunday night from 5 to 6:30. He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Big Ant, what'd you think of the game?
What's up, my people? Yeah, it was a fun game to watch through the lens of all these new experiences we have with this version of the Bears, just because it's the first season for Ben Johnson, and we're all just trying to figure out what each little touchstone kind of means along the way. And so the bye week was the latest example of that. How will Ben Johnson handle the Bears off the bye? And I thought there were things that were very noticeable examples of how this was an enhanced version of the Bears coming off the bye. Some of it just personnel-wise, getting certain guys back into the lineup, but then also just what they were able to do on the line of scrimmage. I was talking to all our mutual friend, Luke Kanellis. We were doing our pregame over at Fox 32 on Bears Game Day Live. That was one of the questions Lou asked, was what's plausible to really expect coming off the bye week that they could really do? And I told him there's a legitimate chance that the Bears can be a better run defense and be a better run offense coming off the bye, because you don't necessarily have to just beat each other up. That can be part of it. You get better at playing football by playing football, but beyond just sort of beating each other up in practice, the coaches have a chance to evaluate during the self-scout that I know you guys talk about a lot middays here. But then beyond that, to really get the players in tune with where they're best suited to help this team out, what they're best at, and being able to study that. It's one of the things that an early bye week normally isn't a big appeal, but if you take advantage of it, this can be something that really propels them through the rest of the season, just having that chance to sort of exhale and really see what's the best version of us and how do we put the players in positions that suit them.
It seems, Ant, like they really did take advantage of this time to get things right, or at least get things better. I don't know where you are. I see you're outside. He's on Twitch right now.
He's in front of a waterfall.
Yeah, first of all, can you just tell us where you are?
Yeah, got a beautiful koi pond here. There's a waterfall behind me. I'm outside. I'm enjoying the conditions. We know the weather will be waning here in the days and weeks to come. So I figured I'd step outside and take advantage of the environs that I have access to.
Okay. You have access to a koi pond?
I hear where I'm at right now, yeah.
Didn't Michael Scott once fall into a koi pond on The Office? Wasn't that an Office
episode?
Yes,
that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely. Ray Diaz wants me to let you know you should probably not go chasing waterfalls.
Oh my God.
And to please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. But we wish you were here with us right here, Ant, because we're eating right
Ray's
now.
Ray's just trying to get me to sing Negroni.
He just did.
Wish you were here.
I love it when Ant sings.
Hey, I don't care if you sing as long as I ain't leading the show.
No, listen, Ant,
he's still singing.
No,
he's still singing.
I like it because it's close enough to a shower that he can sing and be comfortable, and everybody should be comfortable with it. That's why I like it. No, but seriously, we wish you were here because they dropped off food from Honey Baked Ham in Lakeview, and we're just stuffing our faces, ham, turkey, box lunches, Hawaiian rolls.
Potato salad, and real potato salad.
I got a box lunch. Let's see, what do we got? We got chips and a big, soft, delicious cookie and a ham
beans,
classic.
Beans, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, yam, ham.
You name it!
No, here's what I want you to name, though, Ant. Seriously, on a more serious note. The offense, the running game versus the defense and stopping the run, which were you more impressed with? The ability to run the ball last night or the ability to slow down what had been a prolific rushing attack from Washington?
It's a good question because I was really encouraged by both. I think the fact that the personnel on the offensive line, that we've known them to be quality pros, what they added on the interior and how encouraged most of us are by Darnell Wright and what he's got the potential to be. Of course, Theo Benedict making his first start at left tackle. All those things, to me, indicate that it's a run game that, with Ben Johnson's ability to continue to scheme up the run, and it's something that for me has been a little bit of guesswork on my part, just feeling like the fact that they didn't go beyond DeAndre Swift in the backfield, you know, aside from a bunch of other unproven commodities back there, but as far as the back who's actually done something at this level, they were very comfortable with DeAndre Swift being that guy over the offseason. And that just indicated to me, just logically, I just said, okay, Ben Johnson must be really confident between the personnel they've added to the offensive line and his ability to just sort of scheme up the run game, that they'd be in good shape. Because DeAndre Swift is, of course, a talented back, but he's not someone who sort of on his own has ever carried a significant rushing game in the NFL on its own accord. And I think we've seen some evidence of that. I like the way that Ben Johnson can sort of have the versatile approach to allow his guys to try and just sort of run off the ball and move people. And we've seen that they haven't been that consistent with that this year. But to me, one adjustment that I feel like was made in the game last night is that in the previous four games, there was an approach to the rushing attack where DeAndre Swift was running a lot between the tackles. And then he was utilizing his ability to scheme up receivers and other playmaker skill position guys to sort of attack the exterior pretty effectively. And occasionally we'd see DeAndre Swift in space. Last night against a really fast-flowing Commanders defense, they got everybody in space. And he consistently was able to attack. You know, he attacked vertically with the run, but really worked well horizontally against the Commanders also. But he wasn't only using sort of, you know, exotic runs and receivers and, you know, orbit motion and jet sweep motion and things like that to sort of add some eye candy. He allowed DeAndre Swift to be one of those guys also. And it was a big part of why we saw him able to sort of get out the gate so frequently. And it was well blocked up front by the O-line. But what enhances the offensive line and the tight end's ability, where, like I've told you, Cole Kmet's been blocking his tail off this season. But it enhances their ability to move people when the defense isn't certain where that run lane is going to present itself. So it saps some of their aggression to hit what they think is the point of attack. And I really like the way he used Swift as a part of some of the exterior run more frequently.
Big Ant, we talked obviously about the way the Bears defended the run, and it was better. They ran the ball better as well while we're talking about it. What did you think about the way the Bears defense defended Jaden Daniels?
I mean, he is such a difficult guy, a difficult talent to defend. And it's always really frustrating when you've got a quarterback who's as effective as a passer as Jaden Daniels is, but then also can get you into second reaction mode and just do things that are off script, but do them effectively. You know, some guys get a bit frantic or frenetic when the first couple of reads aren't there and they got to try to get into, you know, sort of playmaker mode, but it can be kind of helter-skelter, a little boom or bust. But Jaden Daniels is able to be a guy who, as he extends the play, can just have you in this bind because he still isn't very turnover prone when he's doing that. And so it's really frustrating. And I thought they did as effective a job as I think you can hope to do with Jaden Daniels. Nice to see Daquan Brisker with an early interception in the red zone. It's great to see, you know, some of the moments where, yeah, he's just really fast and slippery. So he's going to be able to turn the corner on TJ Edwards and get an angle on a few guys. There's going to be the occasional missed sack because especially last night where the pads and the jerseys are a little more slippery if he's just out of your grasp and you're trying to grab hold and you just narrowly miss him. So those things are going to happen, but it's about effort. And we saw a Bears team just continue to play hard, continue to work to the echo of the whistle and not allow the frustration of trying to contain a Jaden Daniels to sap their grip, because that's one of the things that Cliff Kingsbury is really effective at, getting the ball out quickly, getting an athletic QB on the move, and then by the time you get into the latter stages of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, you're not only physically tired as a defender, you're sort of mentally taxed, where you're not really rushing as aggressively as you were earlier. And frankly, the latter stages of the game is where we saw more penetration from that Bears D-line than we did early on. I found that to be really impressive.
We're talking to Anthony Heron, the man for all seasons, who is in front of a koi pond and a waterfall right now with us. He's our show host here on 670 The Score. He works for Fox 32 Big Ten Network as well. And Ant, this is just obviously my layman's viewpoint, but I felt like there was a lot of similar offensive concepts that were run in the game for both the Bears and the Commanders. You saw a lot of, I think we saw some old school spread formations out of the Bears, which I love to see. I felt like there was a lot of zone read, which made sense if you need more of a run game that's diversified with not just one personnel.
Right.
You know, I felt like they were both running zone read. They were both running some spread offense concepts, especially since you analyzed so much college football too. What did you think of the offensive sets that you saw?
It's been fun to watch that evolution in the program. And I know, you know, especially you, Layla, and Marshall, you know, we've all covered the college game pretty extensively. And to be able to see the way that collegiate schemes are now just such a big part offensively of how people operate in the NFL. And because of that, now NFL defenses have started to adjust to not just get more speed on the field, but frankly, to just get more defensive backs on the field. That's one of the things that a guy like Kyler Gordon, who, you know, maybe 15 years ago, he certainly would have been a pro, but there would have been a more definitive reason to decide, is this guy a safety? Is this guy an outside corner? We're not completely certain. But now in modern football, Kyler Gordon has such a significant role, because, and one of the things that's impressed me with now watching him as a pro for a handful of years here is that he's more physical than I thought he was really going to be in the pros. I knew he could cover. I knew he was a slick, fluid athlete, but you didn't see him forced to play in the box. It's so frequently throughout his Bears career now, last night was another example, where he's just used as an additional linebacker, but he can hold up. He's not going to take on an offensive guard at the second level that frequently with force, but he can at least do what he has to do to get an angle on that big guy and sort of set an edge at the point of attack, sort of playing into the hip of bigger blockers that are coming at him. And so a player like that, that you can utilize in a wide variety of ways in coverage, be an exceptional blitzer. And it was great to see both he and Jaquan Brisker added to the Bears' blitz pressure last night. But you need those types of movable chess pieces and guys who can be both physical against the run and cover on the back end. And it's just got to happen in the NFL because of the advent of all these spread options and the variety of plays that get run in the National Football League now. But a lot of it are things that have really been getting done at the college football level for a longer time. And as now quarterbacks have been getting protected by the rules more and more in the pro game, not just in the pocket, but also making sure that even when they're on the run, you're going to treat them with kid gloves. And so that commodity that's always been so worried about, so protected in the quarterback, even using them as a part of their run game, people are more willing to take that risk now than they've ever been before.
That's Anthony Heron. We have more with him coming up in our next segment. I want to get into that a little bit more. I know we've got a couple more questions for you when it comes to some of the different looks we saw to the Bears, both offensively and defensively. And, oh, what about that pass rush, too? We'll get his thoughts next. Yes, more with Ann Heron on Raheem Harrison Grody on the
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Why are we playing this, you ask? Because our friend Anthony Heron, our show host for The Score. He's on tomorrow night from 6 to 9. The former NFL player who works for Big Ten Network and Fox 32 is talking to us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, in front of a waterfall, an actual water feature. So, Ant, that's all we ask of you. Just don't chase him too much.
Well, I seen a rainbow yesterday. Too many storms are coming, gone, leaving a trace, and not one guy giving gray. Just because my life is 10 shades of gray, I pray y'all 10 fade away. Seldom praise them for the sunny day. I can keep going, but I know we want to talk some Bears, too. It's like
my I was going to let you finish.
My face can't have
that was amazing. That's listen, outstanding.
RIP left eye.
Okay, so the one thing
song,
I...
Right? Yeah.
Did she start a fire or something? Left eye.
What happened between her and Andre Rison is not necessary to discuss.
We don't need to talk about that. Okay. That's long legislated a long time
ago. Settled science?
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So I want to ask you this, though. As I mentioned that Bears pass rush, because Montez Sweat does deserve some credit for being disruptive yesterday. And you said, when it came to the pass rush. So when I said that, what was the for? What were you thinking?
Hey, I mean, that's still not dominant. They did. It was effective. And what Dennis Allen is really working towards right now, and I think there's progress being made, is finding the best moments possible to schematically make sure that that marriage between front and coverage is working out well. Because you know, a guy with the length of Montez Sweat, as physical as Dayo Odangbo is as a pass rusher, the way he's got length and effort, and even on the interior, he got some long bodies up front with Grady Jarrett not in the lineup, it is a longer interior of the defensive line with just more height and width in there. So last night during the game, it did get to the point, especially in certain situations where you could tell, they just told the guys, don't even worry about rushing the quarterback, especially if some of the drives got a little bit longer and energy is being sapped a little bit. Let's just be not only in the passing lanes, but in the running lanes. And even Tremaine Edmonds, you know, he was one of the guys who Jermaine Edmonds is not a gifted pass rusher, whether you blitz him up the middle, whether you rush him off the edge, but he is so long and athletic. And so even having Tremaine Edmonds on the edge occasionally last night, that was one of the things that allowed them at times to just make sure there's guys who can really run and chase that are in a position to make it difficult for Jaden Daniels to extend the play, to scramble around. I would doubt they evaluate Tremaine Edmonds as a guy who's really going to get after the quarterback and slick, dip, and rip moves to get to the QB. That's not what's on his tape. That's not what he's effective at. But, man, can he run and tackle? And when you're facing Jaden Daniels, I really thought that was a nice schematic addition just to say that, okay, if it's not going to be Montez Sweat on the left edge, let's get another really athletic guy who can run. And Tremaine Edmonds didn't really get near the quarterback unless Jaden Daniels started to scramble around. So just like we see Ben Johnson manufacturing a run game for the Bears, even without the O-line, and don't get me wrong, the O-line blocked effectively, and man, did the receivers block effectively in that game. But we can't ignore the schematic edge that Ben Johnson is giving them in some of these run games. I think Dennis Allen is starting to find a way to do that with the pass rush. Now that he's got some healthy bodies and Jaquan Brisker getting his wish to be near the line of scrimmage and be a part of the blitz package, Kyler Gordon, as I've told you guys for years now, might be the Bears' best blitzer, regardless of position. So you got ways now to manufacture more rush. And then situationally, we've seen where the guys are capable of beating blocks. It's just not something where their front four is showing they can just overwhelm a pass rush by themselves without having that schematic edge given to them.
And so I'm looking at this, and I'm wondering what carries over, what doesn't carry over, because here's what's also settled science. Ben Johnson wants to embarrass people. He will have an opportunity at noon on Sunday with the New Orleans Saints in town. Do you feel like he's going to fully let loose because it is the Saints, Dennis Allen's old team, and because, honestly, he just enjoys it like that?
I guess I'm not sure exactly what letting loose will look like. Does letting loose mean Caleb attempts 50 passes? I hope not.
No,
but if it means that, you know, we get more of DeAndre Swift in space being the open field weapon that he truly is, you know, last season they started to figure that out. And I think it was the Washington game was kind of a breakout game for DeAndre Swift last year as well, where he was the engine. Yes, Caleb was really good in the second half of that game, too, especially in the fourth quarter. But DeAndre Swift was the Bears' best offensive player now for the second year in a row facing the Washington Commanders. So he's got to be a big part of this thing. His effectiveness as a runner and pass receiver is such a weapon when done correctly. It can take pressure off both the quarterback and the O-line. And we're seeing Ben Johnson continue to recognize that as a play caller. With the Saints coming in, I think they're still a one-win team right now, if I'm not mistaken. There should be big expectations, but the Bears, if there's anything that was less than impressive coming off the bye, the amount of penalties they racked up, and man, we're a number of them questionable to be kind to the officials. Some of them were just flat out incorrect calls, but the Bears got to take some of the credit, some of the onus for that also. Like Montez Sweat, just smacking the quarterback in the face. I mean, there are times where your hand is going to end up near the face mask as you're trying to block or knock a pass down. You know, that to me last night looked like it was part that and part him just wanting to smack the taste out of Jaden Daniels' mouth. So he did it, and he got flagged for it. And I thought that one was probably the correct call. But there was a lot of them where, yeah, it was very easy to disagree with the officials.
He let loose against his old team, and that's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, what was all this, oh, I don't care, that's my former team talk? That was letting loose.
That's probably exactly what it was. But something like, you know, the Theo Benedict, you know, being in the illegal formation.
So you're saying it was the dead wrong call. I was going to say, at the very least, maybe it was ticky-tacky. By the way, guys, there's been a development out in the hallway. I don't know if you guys realize what's happening here.
Why are you trolling Ant? We got all this fun food.
Ant, check this out, buddy. First of all, he's at a koi pond. He can fish out a fish and fillet that up if he wants.
I'm looking at a big goldfish right now.
Yeah. So we've got honey baked here, and as Marshall told you, and now in the midst of it all, guess what else has arrived out there?
What we got?
Popeyes.
Please tell me
Victory Chicken is here. I want to give credit where credit is due. I think Matt Spiegel might have brought it, or at the very least, he was the courier of the Popeyes chicken. So we are, three straight wins. We deserve all the goods in here.
We've earned it, haven't we?
That's right.
We deserve it.
So the suffering was worth it, Ant.
This is what happens when you don't want to come in studio and hang out with us, Big Ant. That's what happens. Yep.
To the victors go the spoils. There's no doubt, man. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to the question about just how they may just lay it on the Saints, there are things for Caleb to certainly continue to tighten up. But what we're seeing, at, you know, New Orleans is a team that still seems to have fight in them. We're still fairly early in the season. It might be another game that comes down to critical moments, but where a touchdown gets wiped off the board because of a penalty. I don't know that Theo Benedict needs to do very much different in that scenario than he's done before, but it was a gorgeous throwing catch from Caleb to Roma Dunze. Love the way that combination, like when Caleb wants a big moment and a big play, he really trusts being able to fit the ball into Rome and find Roma Dunze. Rome is in traffic. That's the main receiver.
Yep.
And he's willing to say, here, go up and get it. But we're also seeing now the emergence of a number of other weapons. And for that, for him to see, you know, there's several games this year, we've got, you know, 8-plus pass receivers who are getting the football. And he just seems to be game by game, seeing the field more broadly, more cleanly. And he and Ben Johnson working together really well. But the more games that will come down to critical moments and late game execution, we're seeing that this is a team that finds a way. And last night, Jaden Daniels had 2 turnovers. Caleb Williams had 0 turnovers. So as much as the interception numbers and the way he protected the football last season, because the Bears lost a bunch, then even that was one of these things that could be spun into a bit of a negative. Maybe he's not taking enough chances. We're seeing the marriage now between his sensibilities for protecting the football, but also recognizing and capitalizing on more opportunities for a strike play. And that balance that he's striking, it'll continue to take more time. But as he does, man, this offense is just going to get more dangerous throughout the season. It's really fun to watch it play out.
Thank you so much, Anthony Heron. We will let you get back to your waterfall, and we will take care of the honey-baked ham. Ant will be on tomorrow from 6 to 9 p.m. if you want to call in and talk to him. Thanks, Ant.
Save me the big piece of chicken.
Done.
Going fast,
dude. We'll sneak it for
you. It's already gone.
All right. That was Anthony Heron. We have our film man, Tim Jenkins. You know he analyzes the Bears offense. We have a lot to discuss. We do that next on Raheem Harrison Grody on The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.